I want to remind you tonight, when the wrestling comes, when the struggle comes, the verse we read, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I am short attention span, so I go ahead and put back that verse, that word again. But we do wrestle against principalities. We do wrestle against powers. We do wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And we do wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. The verses before and after this talk about the devil, talk about wickedness beyond our ability to comprehend without the protection of God. And they talk about our responsibility to trust and obey God. But think about the times when conflict comes into our life. This week could obviously be an example of that, when something goes differently than you had hoped. And even the storm. We talked about the storms that come through. But I think about when our country got started. It started with conflict. It started with people that didn't agree with each other, with hard-fought battles. I always think that we asked the kids in junior church today, tell me a story of American history. And the reason I wanted them to tell me was so I could tell them that not everybody knows that story, and it's our responsibility to share the history of our nation. And I was talking about the story about John Paul Jones, the naval captain, when he was being attacked by the British, and his ship was beat up pretty bad, and the other polite British captain said, are you ready to surrender yet? And he said, I have not yet begun to fight. He said, I have not surrendered, and I'm not even started to fight yet. But that struggle that begins a great work, the struggle that begins life. I have believed and do that life begins at conception. I was raised more conservative than that, though. I was taught that life begins when you begin to make googly eyes at each other. But life, when the kid decides he wants to get out, that struggle. Aaron was struggling when he was born, and that fight, you can put your hand on the mother and feel the kick and realize there's a struggle going on. Struggle to start living on the outside and in the real world. Gasping, grasping, coughing, that struggle, the fight. That not just is a part of life, but is life. That's what it is. I was thinking about just basic growing up things, breathing. It's interesting that when you breathe in oxygen, you also breathe it out. You don't breathe out all of the bad, but you got to get less. You got to get the bad out so you can get more good air in. And the struggle to take another breath and keep breathing, and the struggle to walk. Walking is different than running. Walking is a controlled fall. One foot is losing control and the other one is gaining it. And the pendulum swing of a controlled fall and the struggle to stay upright, some of it's harder for some of us more than others, but the struggle to walk and to stay upright and the struggle and to live. In 2 Timothy it says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to be part of life, and the struggle is not just a part of life, it is life. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. So very quickly, tonight, the what is, the conflict is life. It's not part of life, it is life. Whatever you're going to get done, there's going to be a struggle. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be powers beyond your ability to comprehend without the protection and the help of God. And those are the things you wrestle against. We wrestle against those things. Now what? Find stable ground. We just got done with Bible school. We sang the B-I-B-L-E, I stand alone on the word of God. Find stable ground. We sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We could point to the obvious ones and say, don't stand on sin. Don't stand on something other than the word of God. But all other ground is sinking sand. God's word is settled. The Bible is God's word. It's God's word that he gave it to us. He gave it to holy men of old. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In 2 Peter, the Bible is God's word. We have a responsibility and a purpose. Because it is God's word, we have a responsibility to tell other people according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We go under his name. We sang this morning the banner of the cross. Not representing ourselves, we're representing him. And these are all the ground that we stand on. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus is not just our representative, but he's our intercessor. He argues on our behalf, our advocate. The Holy Spirit lives within us as Christians. Because we're helpless and hopeless and depraved, we need a Savior. And God sent the only one that works, the only one that we can use, the only one we need, Jesus Christ, his Son. As for as much as we know, as ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So find stable ground. Number two, stand on that ground. In the verse we read, take unto you the whole armor of God, verse 13, Ephesians 6, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And what I wanted to point out to you, it's already been said tonight, there's a difference between being able to stand and standing and choosing to stand. You can have the ability and not exercise it. There's a difference between knowing it in theory and practicing it. And that's what the verse is talking about, saying you have it available to you. You have the armor of God available to you, and now you need to take it, use it, and stand, having done all to stand. Find the stable ground and then stand on that ground. God needed Moses to lead his people. He asked him, what's in your hand? He had a rod. And God used that to become more than the stick that was in his hand. God needed Joshua to lead after Moses had died. And three times in the first book of Joshua, we've been looking at it in Sunday school, God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Three times he told him that, because he needed Joshua to become more than what he was. He needed to become like that rod and turn into something, turn into someone that could lead God's people. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Again, it's not just the ability, because God gives us the ability. It's the choice, the free will choice that we make to choose to stand. Be careful when you're focused on the significant and the big that you don't surrender your personal testimony and your faith. If God is not enough in the small things, we won't turn to him for the big things. And God has given us what we need if we'll use it and stand. So one, find stable ground. Two, stand on it. Choose to stand. And then three, rejoice and wholeheartedly embrace that struggle that we call life. Again, every part of life is opposing forces. Every part of life is a fight. Every part of anything that's worth anything, there's a struggle involved. If you sit down for a good meal, somebody fought with those dishes and fought with those ingredients so that you could enjoy the benefit of that. We have to be what God has told us to be. It was mentioned this morning in the sermon. We're the salt of the earth. We're a city that is set on a hill. You're not supposed to be hidden. The city wasn't designed to be hidden. It was set on the hill. We can't hide that light. We can't negate that the salt. We can't choose to not use it and be what God wants us to be. We have to choose to be what God wants us to be. We have to be ready to do something. In James 1, it says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, too much, an overabundance of it, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. God has given us weapons of offense and defense. We read Ephesians 6, all the parts of the spiritual armor that God has given us. He's got us covered. And again, it's available to us. It's our choice to use it. It's our choice to use it to stand. We talk about trusting in the Word of God. And more, as the world gets worse and worse, for us to say we're not changing, we're staying with the Word of God, the stranger we're going to look, because one thing is staying the same and everything else is changing. And the teaching us, for us as Christians, that the Bible is our supreme authority. That can't change. That's where we learn what we need to learn so we can share it with other people. And if you look today at somebody in society that has not been taught, no one has defined it for them, and no one has drawn a line, it's real hard to blame the person that has never known the truth than it is to turn to the person that was supposed to be marking and drawing the line and telling them what needed to be done. It's too easy to say what's wrong with those people instead of saying, well, who showed them the truth? Who took the Word of God and showed it to them? So we need to define it. It's not enough just to know it in theory, but we need to explain it. And I've learned this over and over again with my own children and talking to younger kids and saying, I don't ever want to take it for granted that you already know what you should know, because I still don't know everything I need to know. I don't ever want to take it for granted that since God's Word's available, since the armor of God is available, that everybody has it and everybody's using it. I don't want to take it for granted. I mentioned Aaron. He asked me today. I was wondering about my conclusion, and he was asking me, because either he had seen an old book or had been watching, I saw a documentary on Thomas Edison, to show all the old pictures, and they'll scroll over the pictures. And Aaron said, in the past, was everything black and white? And I said, well, no, just the pictures were black and white. I mean, there was always color. They didn't have a way to reproduce it, to show it, you know, in a picture. That was a new thing. Somebody figured out how to depict it in color. But the difference was always there. We just haven't always been able to see it. And I was thinking about that. There has always been a difference between what is right and what the world says is right. There's always been a difference. We may not have always had it so plainly in front of us. It may not always have been perceivable to us, but there's always been a difference. There's always been a difference between a marriage that honors God and a marriage that doesn't. There's that difference has always been there. But more and more, as the days go by, that the ability for us to see it has become more clear. This is what Brother Dan was talking about. That ability to see it and to see the difference. That's what's changed. The difference hasn't changed, but the ability for us to see it and to be demonstrating what we should have already been demonstrating, but now the opportunity is bigger and greater than it's ever been before. And I was thinking about us as individuals and for us as a church, to see the opportunity that we've been given because we're here in this time and not in an earlier time, but God chose for us to live now. And to see the opportunity that as the world changes, there's going to be, as more sin is allowed, as there's more opportunity for sin to abound, there's that much more casualties of sin. Anything that a society goes through, when there's great excess, then there's the casualty of sin. Then there's the blowback from that. Then there's the feedback from that. And as Christians, we have to say, you know what? We have to stay and show the difference. Because if we move and there's not a difference, when those casualties of sin say, you know what? I was looking for happiness, like the woman at the well. Five husbands, however many it was. I think she thought she'd get to the point where she'd finally find happiness or joy or peace with her life. And she didn't find that in the husbands or the sin or whatever she was in. She didn't find that till she got to Jesus. And the difference has never been more clear between what is good, what is right, and what is wrong. There always has been a difference, just like the black and white pictures weren't of black and white scenes. There was color there, but it was always there, but we just haven't had the ability to show the difference like we do now. And as Christians living today, we have that, not just responsibility, but we have the duty to do that, to show this is what God's Word says. I don't have to have a strong opinion on all this stuff because God has already told me what He thinks about it. I don't have to have any opinion on it. I just have to know what God thinks and follow what He says. Joshua said, after he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, he said to the people there that had said what their choice was, he says, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. And I was thinking about that for us as Christians. We're witnesses as to what we do in this time. We're witnesses as what we take an opportunity to be. Got an email about, you know, legal representation. It was a guy that I took a class with in college, so I was kind of picturing him talk about it when I got the email. But he was saying, you know, as a church, in order to not just to protect ourselves, but to serve God and to honor the Word of God, in order to rightly honor the Word of God, we need to make sure that everything that we're doing, and this is true for a church and for an individual that says, I'm a Christian, make sure that you can trace it back to the Word of God. And he said, if you can't do that, especially now in this day and age, you've got to be so careful. If you can't get back to the Word of God and saying, this is why we do it, he said, from a legal standpoint, please stop doing that. He said, just if you can't do it from the Word of God, don't do it, because your defense comes in saying, I'm a Christian, I believe the Word of God. So if I believe the Word of God, I'm going to follow what it says. And everything that I do needs to go back to God's Word. And I thought there's some big issues that we're pretty clear on, but there's other issues that I need to know in God's Word. Why do I behave this way? Why do I act this way? Who am I trying to please? Who am I trying to serve? Who am I worried about offending? And it's a reflex to say, well, there's many marriages in here. We've celebrated Terry and Becky's 40 years. And I think about my own marriage. I want to be the right kind of example to a teenager or to the kids in junior church. And I know I'm weird, so if they think I'm strange, I'm going to send them to some of you that have been married 40 and 50 years. And saying that example, who am I worried about offending? Who am I worried about pleasing? And if it's anybody else besides God and God's Word, we have a problem, because all other ground is seeking sand. It's not just the wickedness of the world. It's all other ground. Who am I trying to please? Whose opinion matters most to me? And so many times we say, I know the good book, I know the Bible, but there's a lot of other people I want to try to make happy. And we leave God somewhere on the list, but He's not the top of the list. So again, find stable ground. Stand on that ground. Rejoice in the life and the opportunity that you've been given, even this day. If I please God, will I be persecuted? You might be. It doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter to you if you are. Matthew 10, when the Beatitudes, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. If I choose only to please God and not other people, if I choose only to serve God and not others, and not just the bad ones or the good ones or the in-between people, but if I say I want to please God, am I worried about whom I'm offending? Will I be persecuted? Doesn't matter. If I am, I'll be in good company. They persecuted the prophets. There's a long line of people that said, hey, life is not just, part of it is not a struggle. Life is a struggle. And there's a reason we're struggling. We're trying to accomplish something for God. See the opportunity night, and everybody's already testified to this. The spirit of the place, everybody's already said this. See the opportunity that we have that we didn't have so clearly before right now. We didn't have the opportunity to so clearly say there's always been a difference. It's never been a person that follows God and a person that follows their own lusts and desires. It's never been the same thing. But right now we have an opportunity to say, let me show you how great the difference really is between somebody that is following after God and somebody that's trying to please anybody else, including themselves. Find the ground, stand on the ground, and rejoice in the life and the opportunities that God has given you today. We're going to pray. Brother Leroy, I'm done, but that was a good closing to your testimony. I'm done. We're going to pray. We're going to have a time of invitation. If God has convicted your heart like he has me and said, you know what, I'm not using the opportunities that God has obviously thinks I'm ready to handle, because otherwise he wouldn't have given them to me. If you need to make that right tonight, we'll take a few minutes for invitation. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Help us to only, when you've done so much for us, help us just to seek to please you and not worry about other people, not worry about persecution even. The worst thing that could happen to us is we'd be listed with the saints and have a home in heaven a little bit early. But I pray, Lord, that you bless us tonight. Help us to not just take a stand for the right that we know about, but take a stand for the right that we apply in our life, the practical things that we input into our life and serve as the example for those around us, those younger, those older that are watching us and want to learn what your word says and want to watch it in action. Help us to be what you want us to be in your servants and pleasing you, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.